Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stone Mountain 64, and this is the Fireside Gaming Podcast. It's currently April 19th, 2019, and today got some surprise guests, kind of last minute, but the homies, Acolyte, as well as Tomographic. How you doing, guys? Dude.
A new guest. Me.
New guest. We had Acolyte on a few weeks ago. Tom, obviously.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that.
Stream with all the time, play with all the time. So this felt like this would be perfect. Works out really well. I got to start with this, though, because I forgot to even mention it in the last podcast that we did, Acolyte. And I want to ask Tom, too. I mean, I can probably guess on Tom, but how did you guys get your gamer tag, get your name?
Oh, this is a question that's always asked to me.
Yeah, do you see? I don't even know what this is.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, like, we spoke about this years ago, but I think the only thing that was, I can't remember there was some sort of product that's called Acolyte that...
No.
Go on.
No. But there is a... Okay, so
no, there
yes,
is.
You're
like,
right.
That's what a lot of people were like.
Yeah, everyone's
like...
If you Google my name... Yeah, if you Google my name, I believe there is a product. I can't remember. It's like a massage place or it's some sort of ointment you put on. I can't remember. But
so he needed, he had a rash and then he got this ointment and that was how he did it.
No, that's not. Oh, God.
Okay, makes sense, dude.
If you try to grow a small channel and there's a, like some sort of product out there that's taking up all the search results, then.
That's the hardest thing, right? It's because there's so much stuff out there now. You have to think of some sort of original name. So mine is kind of funny how I got mine. You played WoW, right, Stone?
Oh, yeah.
So you know the random name generator on WoW? So what happened is I always created new characters because I wasn't like happy with my name. And that was a big thing to me. I wasn't going to, you know, it was like, it's your character, right? So you want it to be the perfect aspect in every way, especially when you like your first one. So when I was creating my character, I was never happy with my name. And then eventually I just kept pushing the random name generator and there was a variation on my name. I think it was like A-K-U-L-I-G-H-T or something crazy, but I ended up just swapping a few letters around. And then this one stuck.
So you already had the name or this was a random generated one?
It was just a random generated name, but it was a variation of it. I just started swapping a few letters in and out to make it sound better.
Oh, I see. So it generated some name and then you kept switching the letters until you found something you liked?
Yes. But at the same time, in my mind, I always wanted a name that was very short, something that could be easily said. I guess I probably didn't choose the best one for that. Some people mess up my name, but that's fine.
It's so weird how you just create your own name online. You know what I mean? Like it's just a completely separate name. That's your online name or your game name or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just took that over to your content too? Or was it specifically?
Yeah, the name just kind of, I was like, if I'm going to be taking this very seriously, then I'm going to have to stick with one specific name and I can't really deviate from that. Right. So.
Tom, your name's Jerry, right? So how'd you come?
So my name's Jerry. No, we're both super boring in that regard. Then I didn't know that Sal Connor actually found his name. But mine was pretty much the same kind of story. Like, I was before PC, like, I've only been a PC gamer for, like, 3 or 4 years now. But I was prominently on Xbox, grew up with Xbox. All my friends were there. We all upgraded to the next gen Xbox One, and then a couple of years later, I was just like, "I'm really enjoying these next gen games, but I'm not seeing like I wanted the FPS that I couldn't get, and I wanted higher like graphical fidelity, which you just can't really get on console, only to a certain extent. Everything's pretty low, but when it came to getting my name, I was getting a new gamer tag, I think, for the Xbox One because I had some stupid name that I can't even remember.
How it goes.
But I wanted, I don't know why, this just kind of stuck, but I wanted something with my name in the gamer tag. Wasn't expecting it to become my actual name.
It's good. I like that. I like that it's within your name and at the front. Yeah, it makes it really clear when I call you Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
It's super easy. I absolutely love
I'm super
it.
Jealous of that.
I know, me too, dude.
My name does not work with anything.
Yeah. Well, I always kind of wanted like that, but I put my name into a generator and it came up with the word Tomographic. And at the time I was running a graphic design business. So I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. But like, apparently Tomographic is, it's a word itself, but it means something to do with like an X-ray, some sort of technical, I don't know. I don't know what the definition is.
Tom. But, oh,
again,
graphics.
It is already a word.
Yeah. Stone Mountain 64 is actually a lotion for women. So it was hard for me to get name.
You're joking.
But, yeah. No, but like,
it's your origin stone. I think you spoke about it on stream once that it's your actual name, isn't it?
And yeah, it's my last name. Steinberg in English is Stone Mountain. So
right,
that's
you did.
How,
oh wow,
that's how it comes. And then 64.
That's cool,
dude. I swear, so few people use numbers in their name. I think I was talking about it with you guys. Even
we were just talking about this.
Somebody.
Yeah,
dude. It's like, now nobody uses numbers. I feel like that was the thing that everybody used to. You think like I feel like I barely see hackers do it
in game attacks.
Like,
I think it's because people try to get that word and then it's like, sorry, that name's taken. Add some numbers on the end.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
but,
it is.
I mean, it works with your name.
Yeah, I feel like if, I mean, the only reason it works is because like I've made it something, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've searched your name on Google before, and it's just come up with like nature parks and stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, it's a place in Georgia. Stone Mountain Park or something. So like, it's been good in terms of like differentiating, but I feel like now people do like, you know, whatever their name is, YT or TW or TTV or whatever it is, or TV, even just TV, and that's like the differentiator of what the numbers used to be.
Fuglet was Fuglet TV for a long time, and then he took the TV out of his name.
Yeah, and a lot of people, though, too, just, I think they use, like, a random number generator or something with their name or whatnot. But, of course, you know, I think the hackers just put in all of that just so that it's, they can make tons of free accounts, like with Apex. I was funny, too, actually, yesterday and today, I was getting some screenshots in-game. And, you know, so I just invited somebody, I was getting it. And then afterwards, both times it happened, a hacker killed us with just like whatever name and then a whole bunch of numbers and whatnot. It was for sure a hacker.
Damn.
It's been absolutely bonkers with it.
I don't think I've
in the game
encountered many hackers. Like, I don't get much time to play on my own. So when I am playing, it's often with you guys, but I don't think we've encountered hackers as a group. There's been a couple of times where I've questioned it, but.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll question it, but sometimes it's like, it's really clear. And like,
what's the experience like, though? How does it.
It's,
like, how
it's
do you
usually
see,
like,
how can you tell that guy's hacking?
What happened was, even I think yesterday too, we were playing and you were trying to, Aculite was trying to team fire with or whatever it was, but it's usually like one person just drops immediately from a range that's crazy with
you
a gun that has a lot of recoil. It's like a Spitfire or a Havoc that hits every single shot to where it's just like, it's not even possible to hit every shot from that far away.
Yeah,
because the recoil.
It's not
much.
Only that; it's that they hit all headshots.
Yeah,
so the multiplier downs you so fast. It's like, okay, that was a little too fast, especially with the R99, right? Like, it takes an entire mag to down somebody if they have purple armor.
Yeah,
but if they hit all headshots, you go down just like that. So
yeah, like
you can tell it's just okay. It's like, whoa! I want his gaming chair.
That's the secret, dude. It's the chair.
It's always the chair.
They just had a huge update, though, Apex. I don't know if you read through all the notes for that. I know we played some Aculite, but they made the biggest change was they're really trying to focus on updating the snipers. So they made it so their overall reduced sway, so the amount that the gun like moves around, which is really weird, too, because in this game, there's no way to hold your breath anyways. So the fact that there is so much sway, especially on some of these guns from range where people also move super fast. The hitboxes are very tiny. And if you do knock somebody, they end up reviving like in 5 seconds, especially if there's a lifeline or something. It's like sniping is super inefficient. So they reduced the sway. The biggest buff was to the longbow. They made it so it actually shoots way faster now as well. Less
That's
sway.
Good.
The sway that is in it also is much slower. And they made it so there's less damage penalty. So, like, if you hit somebody in the legs, it reduces damage by 10% instead of 25%. So, like, they did a lot to try and improve it. And I still have not been sniping all that much, though.
No,
yeah, it just doesn't feel as efficient, right?
Regardless, it's finding a sniper is so niche, and like a longbow itself, it comes as default with an iron sight, and it's rare that you even get high op sixes, like enough where you'll really notice the sway. Like the longer the range, the harder it is to, not necessarily harder, but there's more sway on the longer range scopes.
Yeah. Well,
again, most fights just come down to you'll do a little bit of damage long range, but you're always going to be pushing each other to get the finish.
Yeah, you're never scoped in long enough.
Yep.
So people move much so like Fortnite, right? Because you down somebody long range, like their teammate's going to come over and build. So you're always pushing for that up close and personal gameplay to finish off the entire team.
But the difference is with like Fortnite is that some of the guns will one-shot headshot. And the only gun that really does it in this is a Kraber, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think if they have a purple helmet, still won't one-shot.
Correct.
So it's like the ability to really take advantage of a sniper is pretty minimal in this. So like with the update, I was trying sniping a little bit more, but even the sniping I was trying, I still didn't put a high-powered optic on it. And I was even watching some other people's gameplay using high-powered optic. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the best person I was watching, but, excuse me, they were still missing half the shots. And that's the thing. Right. It's like, you can do basically as much damage if you just keep trying to pepper them with some other gun and then push on them with distance, close distance with double guns. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that they... Well, I guess better question is, should this game even have, like, a super powerful sniper in it? Or more sniping power on it, or is it fine the way it is?
I think Kraber, no matter what, should one-shot headshot if you can get that shot.
Yeah, because agreed.
It takes so long to shoot in between, and like you were saying earlier, the hitboxes are so small, especially Pathfinder. Have you ever tried to headshot a Pathfinder right now?
Yeah.
It's next to impossible.
He's got toilet rollers ahead.
Yeah, it's super small. So, like, and then again, they can just get him up really, really quickly.
It's hard to take a precise shot as well in this game with the movement as crazy as it is and all the different tricks. Like, if you get that headshot, you should be rewarded for it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, dude. And like, I love sniping in games. That's like always been one of my favorite things. I think it is for a lot of people. Like, that's the top tier level of mastery, is becoming good with a sniper rifle and dominating. That's like aiming expertise, leading expertise. Like, that's where it all comes together. And I felt that a little bit more when I was using some of the snipers, but, you know, with the changes that they made. But I still feel like the overall meta of the game is just double gun, run and gun.
Yeah. That's the thing. You would have seen, like, some crazy clips with the snipers right now if they were, like, the be-all, end-all. Like, there's always skilled players in the community that specify in a specific, like, category of weapon. Like, some people, like, on Fortnite, for instance, like, they're just known for hitting really good sniper shots on moving targets, and I don't know. It's not so easy in Apex.
Yeah, and it's pretty early in the game, too, to where it's still, like, they've only introduced one new gun. What if they introduced another bolt-action sniper rifle that's not quite the Kraber? I mean, I don't know how they would still make that one shot, though.
I don't think they would make it one shot. If anything, they'd have to make it fire pretty fast and maybe do a little bit less damage, but I guess faster fire rate, but do less damage.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see a nice fast bolt action for once, just a straight pull or something, and have like a lot less drop off than every other gun.
That would be interesting. And I mean, that's kind of what the triple take is, because it's got way less drop, faster velocity. But that gun also is like, it's trying to be a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly. And you're trying to turn it into a pinpoint sniper, you need that choke attachment.
Yeah, and you're trying to use the charge up on it, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the thing. Once you have your target in sight, if you have the shot, you've still got to wait for it to charge.
I feel like it's just not a good mechanic in the game. Same thing with like the Havoc charge up sniper rifle. People move too fast.
It works on close weapons like the Peacekeeper, but.
Well, they did buff that recently as well, right? That does, I think.
Yeah.
It has less drop off at range now, and it does a slightly more damage.
Yeah. Yeah. But still,
I would never personally use it because it's just so inefficient than, you know, pushing with a Bangalore or just get grappling hook closer with Pathfinder, right? And that's the other thing. Most of the characters have such fast movement that it's more beneficial to push with them than to sit long range and try to pick them off.
They did make some changes to the characters as well with it. Gibraltar and Caustic got 10% damage reduction. I don't know. That's felt mediocre upgrade for them too. I feel like they're just more annoying in the situations where they're good.
Yeah.
Like they're just more annoying to kill, but it's not like super buffing them up.
So I don't think it was enough of a change to make anybody who was questioning playing them to make them play them now.
Yeah.
To be like, that was the deciding factor right there. Oh, they take 10% less damage now. Perfect. I'll play them.
Do you think if they had like a bigger base health pool, like the tankier looking characters, like if you come to this game as a newbie, you look at these guys and you're like, oh, they're a tank. They're going to take more hits. That was like something that we had when we first played Apex. We were like, oh, we assume these guys are going to take more damage, but take less hits, but be slower.
Well, if I'm Turns not out mistaken,
they run, it looks like they run slowly, but they're actually keeping up at the same pace, but they still take the same amount of damage.
If not mistaken, that's how Overwatch is, right? The characters have more health. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what they did by saying,
and
like,
it works
you
because
take
of their abilities.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what they did by saying, like, you get 10% less damage taken to you. Technically, that's like you have 10% more health, but you don't have to heal to that amount.
That's the thing, is I think they wanted to do damage reduction instead of health increase, because if they did health increase, they'd have to make heals specifically heal more for that character, or that character would have to use more heals to get to full, right?
That's where it's like, it's even better that it's damage reduction, technically.
Yeah. So that was probably the easier and more beneficial fix that they chose to go with. But still, I've never like go out of my way to play a Caustic or a Gibraltar.
Yeah. No, you just like everyone you come against, like they thirst you. Like you take the same amount of damage as everyone else, but you're just so much bigger.
How do you guys feel like the state of Apex is right now? Like it's been out for over a month now. It's I don't know.
I still
like
enjoy
it's had
the
its
game
first
when
season.
I play it. Yeah, I still enjoy the game. I'm not like that first couple of weeks, I was pretty addicted to the game. But they haven't really supported it with content in the way that I wanted them to. Like, I wanted to see some events, and I don't know, the biggest thing that's come so far is Octane, but you can only get so much out of that. And especially when, I mean, it stays fresh for a while when a new character comes out because of the pick rate system. Like, you're not guaranteed to get that guy. Everyone's fighting for him in the first like week. And people are working towards unlocking him too. So everyone's going to get their chance. But once you've used him a couple of times, you kind of understand how he works. And a lot of people go back to their original mains. I've been maining him quite a lot. I do enjoy playing as him, but he's like the one character that's kept things fresh for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree there with you. Octane's still one of my favorites, like Bangalore, him, and Pathfinder, of course. I mean, I knew since day one everyone's going to start picking Pathfinder, and here we go. So I've officially lost him to the Abyss.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a necessity for one of us to play him at this point, because our go-to meta when we play the game is to be as mobile as possible and just run to all combat. And that's what we need to do now. Like, we were discussing this the other day, Connor, that when the game first came out, it was so intense constantly. Like, there was fights going off left, right, and center because everyone was just having fun with the game. And now it's been out for a while, and there's all these new players. Like, as the game gets bigger, you're more likely to encounter more casual players that aren't trying so hard. So the games feel a lot more deserted than they did when the game first came out.
Yeah. Well, when the game was first out, it was like everybody's trying to learn, and it was like it was a slow curve trying to get to it. But now it's starting to see
it's
some
settled
separation.
Into a meta.
Yeah,
that's what's happened,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They haven't had any content to mix up the game, so now everyone just hot drops to get that in on that action.
Yeah,
especially with content creators always and like these really good players telling people, it's like, oh, you got to hot drop in order to get better, right?
Yeah.
So now we've lost half the server already in the first 2 minutes of the game, and then you have to hunt down the rest of the kills to even have any action.
It's been interesting.
I think part of it.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
On, Stan. I was going to say that I think part of it is because a lot of people just expect content. Like Fortnite has set a huge example for content that comes out just like left, right, and center. And like, I know the updates recently haven't been great. I've heard from the community, but like a new event mode that you were talking about the other day, Stone.
Yeah, the airplanes.
That seems to have gone down quite well. But the thing is with Fortnite is that they still claim to be in early access when you launch the game. And they've stayed that way because of one specific reason, that they can push an update live to all those different platforms without having to go all the necessary barriers that a full, just a fully released game, one that's completely, you know, what do they call it? When a game goes gold, they don't need to add anything else to it. Well, or, you know, at the base level. But these big games that are already out need to like have to go through Microsoft and Sony to put these, you know, updates live. So we don't really get the content that Fortnite gets because they're just sort of taking, I think they're just going to stay early access for, I don't know, as long as the game is thriving, because it's the only way they can add content immediately.
Yeah, I think they're just going to stay with where they're at. And that's actually where I was going to take it to, was like, if you compare it to, like, this game was supposedly like a Fortnite killer, but if you look at Fortnite, and the thing is, too, that game's been out for a lot longer, too. And also, I don't think there's a lot of crossover, per se, between the audience that's playing it. But still, like, that game is being updated crazy, at a crazy speed every week.
I've
there's
never seen
so
anything like
much
it.
Content and so yeah, much stuff to do in
insane.
It. Like, this game has dropped a new character and had two rebalances in the time that they've done, like, four updates, introduced a new mode. They've had competitive modes. There's like tournaments going on. So, I mean, there's still
constant
a lot of
new
potential.
Skins too, right? Like, not like when like a skin can, I don't know, people see that as like a new character almost. When the store gets updated with like these new outlandish looking characters, like people can get behind
that's
that.
The thing, right? Is that
whereas
those skins are so well done.
Like, there's no like abilities tied to that aesthetic. So, like, with Apex, they'll spend forever, like, refining the character and how he's going to look.
Right.
But with Fortnite, they're able to just release, like, everyone's on a level playing field in terms of the ability they have.
Plus, it's a third person, so, like, you get to see the character. Like, this is where...
Yeah, that's what I was going
to say. That's a good point, actually. With it being a third person, too, is that, like, Battle Royale exploded because of it brought in that casual audience, mainly with Fortnite. And now that Apex came out and that got huge, a lot of these third person players are trying to get used to a first person game where they can't have the like peripheral vision that they have in Fortnite. So I don't know, kind of makes it difficult to switch between the two. Not every casual player has played a first person game before.
Yeah,
and the audience is quite young with Fortnite.
Yeah. And that's too, like, even like with PUBG, I don't know if you guys saw too, they have an update that's coming. It's currently in test server, but they are adding charms. Well, they have a whole entire system for their guns that's being introduced. So as you use guns, you'll actually level that gun up. It's purely cosmetic. So every few levels, you get a little charm that's going to be on your gun, because a lot of people play first person. A lot of people play third in that too, to be fair, but a lot of people also play first person, and myself included. I've never really cared about any of the other cosmetics besides the guns. Mm-hmm. And a charm's pretty cool. That's what we see in Rainbow Six Siege. That's always really fun, especially because, like, in that game, you get to earn those charms, not only, like, playing and getting packs and whatnot, but in that game, you get, like, you can get a diamond charm for being top ranked within a season. Like, that's some of the... They do such... so many amazing things in that game.
That's the only charm you progress towards, though, isn't it? Like... With the rest of Rainbow Six, it's all about like the other charms. It's all about renown and you having to pay for those other charms in some way, whether it's in-game currency or real-world money. But in PUBG, it looks like they're going down the route of like every cosmetic charm, even, is you have to work for it in some way. Do a certain amount of, you know, do a challenge.
They're having weapon progression.
It just depends how they implement it, because when Vikendi first came out and they had that challenge system that was like totally new, the challenges took away from the core battlefield, the core battle royale experience by
they had nothing
do,
to
like,
do with
things.
The battle royale experience.
Like,
that was
die
the
three times
issue.
In the die three times in a red zone whilst in a vehicle, drown 10 times, Dive 10 meters in open water like 10 times or something.
But one of them was like jump off an edge into water, jump off 10 foot drop off or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can only do it once per game. So you had to go
I attempted the water one a couple of times, but you dive 10 meters and then by the time you reach the surface, you have like 10 HP left and you've got to make it's even more of a challenge for you to survive the rest of the game. And if everyone's landing over water to try and complete that challenge, you don't know where the circle's going to ping first because it's not already in like it is with Firestorm. You could do that challenge, expect to carry on playing the rest of the game, and then all of a sudden the circle's on the other side of the map and you've got to swim back to shore and then get loaded up again and try and get to the other end of the map.
Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. Why I'm glad they're going with more of it. And this is what they should have done with the start. It needs to be passive, progressive system, right? When you play the game, you should be able to unlock stuff just by playing the game. It shouldn't be something you have to go out of your way for, unless it's something specific like a care package or, you know, you pick up an om, get like one kill with an om, right? Something like that, but not diving 10 meters underwater and then hoping to God you can make it to the zone.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The game has such high potential still, but it really does. They take it in the right direction.
Even just with mods and the custom games and stuff, like they have such a great system that's already in place, but it could be so much more. And I mean, they're still making improvements to it. Like they're also making some improvements to Observer, but a lot of it is really just catered to the esports side of it and the competitive side of it, which is good too. I mean, there's still some healthy competition on the game and tournaments that do go on. And they're also one of the other cool things. Well, from the update was they're making a booster bar so you can see how much boost your teammates have active.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
It's nice. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it'd be great if you even saw the information of, like, what helmet or armor or something they have, because basically,
yeah,
like,
just little icons.
Yeah, all the other games have some other way to get that type of information, or a lot of them do,
it
at
really
least.
It's the little things, yeah.
Usually it's just like, hey, this is how much armor they total have, like, in Fortnite, it's how much shields, or in Apex, it's also shields. And so it's not, and actually in Apex, they also show the specific armor too with the UI. And I mean, maybe that's not their intention with it, and that's fine too, but I don't feel like it's that big of a, it's just you talking to your teammate, like, oh, what do you need? Mm-hmm. Every game, like, oh, do you still need a level 1 vest? Having that conversation every time is like, it'd be nice to just like look it up yourself and figure it out.
Okay. So do you think they're trying to force more communication by not adding that type of stuff in? Or they just haven't thought of it and they think that would take away from the game?
They addressed that themselves in the Vikendi announcement video, that like they were talking about that's part of what they think makes PUBG, is that you loot up, you talk with friends, you socialize, you help get each other geared up, you have a fight and then rinse and repeat. It's a whole different system.
Yeah,
but when you're looting for the whole
ping system
game
in Apex has just given us something that none of us, like, no one expected that would be, I don't know, it's just what we needed.
So good.
It's crazy. Like, we thought everything had been done with Battle Royale in the space of a year, because so much has come out early access-wise. People have tried new things. It might have fallen, like, the game might have fallen, but some of those things have been picked up by bigger studios.
It is interesting that it is really part of the process of PUBG, is like spending 5 or 10 minutes looting or whatever it might be, especially for some players, especially for newer players, like going through and figuring out the attachments and like, oh, what's the attachment you want and trading stuff. Like, that's a huge part of the game. Whereas like in a Fortnite or Apex, Apex has attachments too, but in Fortnite at least, it's literally like, the loot process is very basic. Mm-hmm. It's typically within one house, you'll have a gun. You'll find a pump within like 2 or 3 houses for the most part. And then that's kind of where you're on the road. There's no attachments to deal with. It's kind of like minor tweaks of getting better guns and whatnot between those, or like getting a higher tier of whatever your gun is if you get a kill. Same thing with like Battlefield.
It's kind of similar with Apex in the sense that the attachments in Apex aren't crucial to your success with that weapon. Like, the recoil on a naked weapon is perfectly manageable. Like, you don't need things like a barrel stabilizer and all that sort of stuff. Like, with PUBG, those attachments can really help your weapon perform to, like, its maximum ability. If you get an M4 fully stacked, then you compare the recoil pattern with both. It's quite a big difference. You feel like you need those attachments, so you're constantly on the lookout for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just way more recoil in general.
And the iron sights suck in PUBG. Yeah, like, in Apex, they've designed the iron sights so they're still, you know, it's like a futuristic looking game.
Yeah, they
kind of
seem like a red dot already.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The 301, it already looks like it's a...
Yeah.
So you don't even need an optic
wingman. I mean, it's not the best looking sight. It's quite like, it's a big reticle. But, I mean, I'll take that over the SCAR iron sights in PUBG any day.
You don't like the Uzi iron sights?
God.
That's not easy to use?
Love them, Stone.
My favorite.
I love them.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where how the PUBG update does. Unfortunately, like, the test servers are just so dead on that game now. You can't even.
This is the first update that I've actually got. I can get behind. Like, I'm excited to try it out. The weapon.
Well, they're also boosting the amount of loot on Erengale, which I think is still one of the favorite maps.
By a significant amount, too. Yeah.
Really?
It's not a joke.
It was really tough.
Huge update. Huge.
Snipers are getting like 170% bonus spawn rate or something.
Yep.
Like, it's that big.
DMRs and assault rifles. Those were the three that at least I saw. Those are the ones that they're really boosting too. It's not like you're going to find more pistols. It's going to be more assault rifles. And assault rifles are boosted, but DMRs are boosted even more than that. And bolt actions are boosted even more than that. Plus, I mean, talking about even snipers earlier, they had a huge update. I really haven't played it that much. The AWM update on PUBG as of at least recently is it'll one-shot even a level 2 vest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen gameplay of it. Haven't tried it myself. But
great gameplay experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw...
I've seen the players that have succeeded with it. They don't look excited at the end of the game. It's like they feel disgusting.
Yeah.
They just feel dirty of what they've just done. Like, if you
can't stand
behind
that change. I don't mind the Kar98 two-shotting a level 2 vest. I actually have no problem with that, because that's how the game first started out, right? It always two-shot a level 2 vest. Like, snipers just did that in general. And I don't know, it was still rewarding, because you'd hit a running headshot or a running body shot, and then if you could follow up with another running body shot, then you get the kill. But hitting that third extra running body shot, it's the toughest thing in the world, because they're always going to be behind cover by then.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extremely high bar to hit three shots as well with such a slow firing gun. Mm-hmm. But also the firefights don't go on as long. I don't know. They're just different in that game.
The time to kill.
I need
that
to
game
stop
is
like
so
overcommitting when I do that in games. I'll hit someone twice with a sniper rifle and they'll be out in the open, but I'm still committed to landing that third shot to get the kill with the Kar98 when I know I could just switch to my secondary weapon, an AR of some sort, put one bullet in him and he's going to fall over. But I have a full auto weapon.
Even the switching, though, can be... Because I do that sometimes, too. It can be really slow to switch. Everything's just so much slower. I think that's the hardest part, even like switching between the games. Is like, boy... Takes a while to pull
That's the thing, though.
Out.
They don't want a fast-paced game, but the time to kill is very fast. So it kind of balances out that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently, too, they're also changing the zones a little bit on PUBG. So,
but they've not.
We don't know any
news
on it, though. Yeah. So we don't know what is actually going to change. And what's actually interesting, I don't know if you guys ever played PUBG Mobile, but they have a mode on Erengale and all the stuff where the zone starts basically small already. And so you go into it and it's like wave, because obviously you're on your phone, you probably don't have as much time to... They have the regular game too, like full...
Wait, so the zone's already called in with the same amount of players, but...
Yeah, zone...
It's just
I don't remember
hectic.
If it's the same
like
amount
Firestorm.
Of players, but yes, it's like Firestorm. Yeah. So the zone is already closed, like it's already on ring
it's
three.
Small zone,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
You already see where the zone is.
Got you.
You see where the zone is, and if you land outside of the zone, you're going to take damage. So... You have to already land within the zone, and then you play in like this mini environment, so the games go faster. And that's like, to me, that's just been such a no-brainer to incorporate, and just to, because so many people like having the faster experience. I know I really do. Sometimes it's good to have the long, full, drawn-out thing, but that's kind of a good way, too, where it's like you don't even have to introduce new maps to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And then you play specific portions of that map, right? So it's always a different experience because the zone is already showing you where you have to go, right? Like half the server hasn't died off immediately before you even go to that specific circle. But I don't know. I think one way they could fix it and still make it okay so people can kind of drop where they want is have it so that when the plane fully passes, you can, well, when you're coming in the plane, you can already see where the zone's going to be. But it doesn't start coming in until the plane has fully, I guess, gone the full route of the whole map. And that way people can still kind of drop outside of it and make their way in.
That's how Sandhawk was when it first came out, if you remember. And when they were in the test server.
I don't remember that one.
They had, I'm like 95% sure, so I might be wrong, but I'm
in the test server,
pretty positive. I think it was in the test server, the first iteration that they did, or maybe it was like the second week or something,
I think, right. I remember something to do with the zone in the test server that we were
on. The zone, when you were on the plane, it already showed where it was. And then I remember, too, they made more changes to the zone after that, and that was when, on Sandhawk specifically, they made it so that the zone, if there's not that many people alive, the wait period is reduced. So the zone will continue, like if there's 10 people left and it's on zone two, then the wait period now, instead of being 3 minutes, is 30 seconds or whatever it is. That's just an exaggeration, but it speeds the whole entire game up, so it closes it up faster.
I always forget about that now.
Yeah,
Sonic was the first map to actually force them to make changes to the zone. Like they had to increase the speed, and then they also made it so that, I think that was the first time that red zones were outside of the zone. Not inside.
Yes. Yeah. The red zones only are on the edge or outside of the white zone, so it's not on the safe area.
Which I don't think anybody has complained about.
No.
I think everyone is okay with that.
That's fine.
Because then it forces you inside the zone.
Right. Just gives you more to worry about if you're going to be playing outside of zone. Like, I think that's...
Yeah, I'm always worried about that red zone.
And that was kind of like, that was their test to be like, okay, now we get to try out a more faster-paced version of this game on Sandhawk, and I feel like it was a big success. Like, I think it's been
huge.
I think overall it's one of the maps that everybody always queues into and prefers to play, and that should be like, I think that's an indicator for them to, and like, whether it's a smaller zone or whatever, I would love to see more of that personally.
Yeah, it came at the perfect time, Sandhawk. Like, I think that was a time where the game was kind of getting stale, when like Miramar came out and none of us really enjoyed it. So we all played Erengale again that we were so used to playing for months. And then to play a map that was just intense, like constant action, it just, I don't know, just gave a whole new life to the game.
Going back to other maps now, Erengale's still not too bad. You have your hot drop areas, right? You can always kind of find action.
Erengale's still a favorite for a lot of people.
Miramar is just, it just feels very, very bland. It's too large. And I don't know what makes it feel so large, because it's not any bigger than Erengale, right?
No, I think it's the amount of, like, hills that separate you. Like, stuff like that slows the game down. Having to, like, when you're in the middle of, like, two hills, having to run over a hill to scout out the area, it just slows things down, because you know people are doing the same thing. They're all in their own rut trying to figure out where players are.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
It's not a very level map.
No, yeah, and it's almost like Erengale's very simple. Maybe it's because we've had it for so long, but I think it's just like, it's just a simple map. Yeah. It's got two islands.
It's so flat, though, and that, like, the only hills are quite big.
There's like two main mountains that you go up, and there's like that one little hill on the left, or the mountain under the city there in the top left. And
see, that's the thing. You're able to recall the hills from that map, whereas with...
And I don't know if it's like because I've played it so much.
Yeah, it's all just so sporadic. I don't know.
But yeah, there's so many more buildings, and like, I feel like there's so much more going on the other maps.
There's a lot of clutter.
If you look at Sanok, though, it's very similar to it in that way. There's not a lot of like moguls that you have to go up and down and over and stuff like that. They're very gradual. Like, the hills that are big are very, very gradual. Yeah. And
the biggest hill is in the center of the map, too.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, actually, isn't the one in the top left?
Oh, yeah, on the left. Alpha Island.
Yeah.
Jump.
That giant ass cliff,
like a,
I hate.
It's got a smaller surface area up there. There's like one compound. Whereas
and it's
the
not
other
like
big
it separates
in the
whole map because it's so large.
Yeah, but
the
even
hill's
on
in the
that
middle,
island,
but it's got a lot
like,
of tree cover and rocks.
There's not that much going on them. There's a couple of little outposts here and there. I don't know.
Or you have like Camp Alpha or something. But it all depends on where the plane goes in, right?
Yeah. But you can kind of reach anywhere, too.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely forces more gunfights when there's fewer compounds.
Up in,
and the only other smaller buildings that are outside of the named places are they're really small. Little cabins there and there.
In some of the fights that I've been getting into, I've been, especially this last week, struggling a little bit because I switched my mouse up. I'm now using a wireless mouse. I took your recommendation, Aculite.
Did you?
I got a lighter mouse, and it's also wireless. That was the main thing I wanted to switch it. So I got a...
So how does it feel going from a heavy mouse down to a light mouse such as that?
It was a huge difference at the beginning. Like, even holding it now is like, man, this is really light. It's, I think my other one was like 100.
Your sensitivity feels so much higher, too.
It does. And you know what's funny is the other mouse I was using, that one's like 140 grams. That was the G502. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I put weight into that mouse because that mouse had option to put weight in it. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, it comes with all these weights, so I guess I'll just put half of them in, and maybe
that's what I did, dude.
Maybe that's the middle ground. So
Corsair M65, and I had like three weights in that, and then I got the final mouse a couple of months ago, and that's a super light mouse. Like,
yeah, that's like the
light mouse.
They focused
on removing as much of the mouse as possible.
Yeah.
And the cable is like the main thing for them, is that it's so light, is that it feels like a wireless mouse, but it's still wired.
Yeah, it is very, very light, that mouse. And the cable, I can say the cable on that mouse is really great.
Yeah. It was a huge jump for me.
So, I took the weight out of it, used that for a while. That felt great. And then switching to this is like, now there's not even a cable. And that's been even better. I'm using, this is a Logitech Pro wireless mouse.
Is it the G1? Same as yours, Connor?
It's not a G, it's just the Pro Wireless.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there was the one that you had, they don't make it anymore or something, right?
The G303 that I was using?
Oh, 303? Is that? Yeah,
that
I don't
was
know.
Wired, though.
It's not the one with like, the hexagon like LEDs on the side, is it?
No, that's not the one I'm using now.
Okay.
But I do love that mouse.
Yeah, I heard that one was good. I think Shroud uses that. Or did.
How does your aim feel now, Stone?
Yeah.
That you've swapped down, because it'll definitely feel more a lot different, especially like your sensitivity will feel a little bit faster and such. But do you feel more accurate?
It's felt, it's been a bit of adjustment trying to switch over to it, but it's felt super good. Like I've noticed like in a full auto spray, it just feels easier for me to, and I don't know if this is just, it feels to me like it is the weight where it's just like, it just feels soft. It just feels easier to like pull down on or flick over to something really quickly. Mm-hmm. But like, I haven't noticed any improvement. Like, I think I'm probably doing just as good as I was before. And so maybe I'll get better with it over time. I don't know. The biggest frustration for me has been that I had a bunch of key bindings on my mouse previously. I know I told you about it, but I had like, basically, I had three buttons where my thumb is, and then I had two literally on the where I left click. On that left click, on the left side of it, there was two little buttons there that I could push with my shooting finger. So,
what the hell?
Yeah, it was really weird, but it was super easy to use, and it was like a natural, like, two free hotkeys that were super easy to click whenever I'm not shooting. So, that's been the weirdest thing for me to try and transition, because, like, I used my toggle mute for Discord and stuff on the mouse, so... Now I only have two buttons. That's been the most frustrating thing. And like, was
it's
it really...
a big trade off.
Yeah.
For sure.
Was it really
but
worth
I
it?
I don't know. It's like having a lighter mouse. When I first swapped to a lighter mouse, mind you, it was corded at the time. But my first swap, my mouse was pretty heavy back then. It was like 130 grams. And then I jumped down to like 79 grams, I think it was. And the first thing I noticed is like, oh my God, it's so light. But the biggest thing is that you can use your fingers to do more of the minimal movements rather than like picking up the mouse or pushing really hard with your whole hand because of how heavy the other mouse was. And I could lower my sense a lot more because it was so light.
Do you claw grip on your mouse?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it's like a claw fingertip.
Yeah. I've not been super good with kind of the minor movements. But like I try and go in and practice the, like I'll go in the test range and just flick to, like I'll look in the middle somewhere or look far away and then try and flick over and hit a headshot and just keep practicing like from different ranges, from up and down, and just kind of get the muscle memory of like trying to hit something. But I don't know if it even is like I should be flicking or just moving slow to get make sure I know the distance of how far I'm moving it. So I'm still trying to flick. Figure that out. Yeah.
Because then you definitely get that muscle memory down. But do you use palm grip or how do you hold your mouse?
I kind of use like a mix.
I'm like a hybrid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's like palm.
Does the back of your palm,
fingers are in claw.
Does the bottom of your palm just barely touch the mouse or is it like your whole hand is laying rested on the mouse?
I mean, I don't really put weight on it, but
you both
never really think about this, do you?
No one really thinks about this.
Yeah, I don't put weight on it, but I guess my palm is resting there.
Yeah, my mouth, just my hand for sure touching. Is on it.
Yeah,
not like just hovering like to where it's zero weight, but I put a little bit of weight into
enough
it.
Enough to grip it.
Yeah,
all I do is I grip it from the sides. My thumb and my pinky and my ring finger is the only thing that really touches the mouse. And I just use those. Yeah.
That's weird.
And I move my fingers up and down.
So that's like legit
like
claw
just while
then,
holding
right?
the mouse. Yeah. And you, but you have so much more control over minimal movements. Think about it. If your whole hand is on the mouse, how much can you move it up and down? Yeah, but okay.
Hawk hands.
Try hard.
Wow. Sweaty hands. Gotcha.
Yeah, but how did, I don't know. I feel like, I feel like I would need to just touch it for reference at least. Maybe not.
You can have it just touching. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Hmm.
But when your whole hand is
on it,
you can't do minimal movements with your fingers.
It's light enough to where you can just pick it up with just your fingertips.
That's the whole point of a lighter mouse.
Interesting. Maybe I'll need practice with that more.
He knows his stuff, this kid.
I feel like I need a hit. Do you use your thumb keys at all?
Yeah,
I do.
My backwards thumb key is to mute Discord, and my front thumb key is to talk in game.
See, I used to do that, have that as push to talk, but now I have usually, I don't know, like Alt or, I don't know, I've just been mixing it up lately. I've been using my thumb buttons more for like med kits and, I don't know, more niche movements.
I've noticed when I try and do like really tiny movement sniping or whatnot, I put the bottom right of my hand down on the mouse pad and like use that as like a grounding and then just barely move it with my fingertips.
That's how I play. Yeah.
That's when I'm like trying to get
so that when
precise.
You flick shot, you can immediately stop, right? Because you have that you
like
have that weight on
the mouse from one finger to the other.
Kind of. Yeah. But
what if you just threw your mouse and then you just switch your fingers? Toss it over your middle fingers, now your shoot button.
Actually, I just swap it over to my left hand. I just slide it across the whole mouse pad.
Slide it across the whole desk. That's how you 180, and then you start playing with your left hand.
Right?
He actually bounces it across his keyboard like he's skimming a stone. Yeah, you just hear
absolutely.
That's how the pros do it, man. That's how you start getting
absolutely.
That's how you do a 180 shot on that low sense.
I need that vertical 90-degree turned keyboard. Absolutely. Yep.
Wireless keyboard on your lap and then mouse, you just slide across the whole width of your mouse pad.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're getting a little long, so I wanted to get into we did have a couple questions from the audience as well. One of them was about I don't remember who said it exactly. I didn't write it all out, but one of them was about the next gen consoles. I know, did you guys ever play console at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
My main platform was console for a very long time when I was younger.
That was only when you were young, though. Like, you weren't around when like the next gen consoles came about.
PS2, PS3.
I stopped playing console Xbox 360. I never really got into PlayStation unless there was exclusives.
Yeah.
It's because really all my buddies played on Xbox.
PS5's
been announced, hasn't it? But there's no info as of yet.
Yeah, it's been announced.
Not the guaranteed like name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be PlayStation 5, but they said that. I mean, the crazy thing is that's how most people game still, is just with the platforms and whatnot. So, PlayStation 5 or whatever it'll be called apparently will have an 8-core CPU. And they seem to be more like
good for streaming,
hardware focused. And that's what I was thinking, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
well, these next gen consoles do have streaming. Like, it is forced. Like, they do try and promote that a lot. I remember when I was playing on the Xbox One, like, regularly, it was my main platform. There was always, like, I mean, they had the DVR, I think it was, Xbox DVR or whatever you use to record gameplay.
Well,
then it was like, you bought an Xbox One and you were given a Kinect. Like, you couldn't buy it separately.
Yeah.
It was a while before. So it was always like, Xbox, record that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now...
You just triggered 100 people's Xboxes, by the way. Who still have the Kinect.
If you have Kinect, you're an OG.
Yeah.
That was a day one edition holder.
But that was the huge change when Xbox One and the PlayStation came out, too. They had a built-in way where you could record your clips directly via the platform. And then post them to the thing. Like, I was revolutionary for like the top plays and stuff like that. And like everybody all posting their clips now. Like, it's been so cool to see. And I think that's even going to be like a further process of it. Plus people like actually streaming directly from their platform or their device or whatever. Like, 8-core CPU. That's not so much for gaming. To an extent it probably is, but.
Yeah, it's definitely more on the multitasking side.
Well, the cool thing about consoles as well is they can dedicate, like, they can make it so all games only use 4 or 6 cores, right? And then those extra 2 cores are only going to be specifically for streaming or background tasks and all that other stuff, right? So I would love to see them do something like that, because then it doesn't affect any of your game performance, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's forced by the manufacturer. So some people might be a bit, like, triggered that they're not getting that, but
it wouldn't affect your game. Even if they gave you the extra 2 cores, it wouldn't help your game performance anyways.
Right. No,
especially
not on the console level, 60 FPS, and
exactly
if that's what PS5 is going to be.
Yeah,
is that in the details, Stone? Is there?
Well, one of the other details that they said with it, this is what I've just read from articles and other things, but they're saying too that it's gonna work for 8K resolution. Which I think is really not great. They're trying to push.
I don't think they should be pushing for that right now.
Yeah, it's kind of seems.
Yeah, they should be pushing.
Kind of seems ridiculous.
Higher FPS with consoles,
especially because like, I mean, you're talking about like maybe like an RTX Titan graphics card can get up to 8K resolution and get decent frame rate on a game, and that's like a few thousand dollars just for the card alone. And it's like, should how are we talking about like 8K at 2 FPS? So it's just photos of the game?
Probably 30.
Like, we get one
slideshow, dude.
Maybe it's just like the cutscenes are in 8K, everything else is not. It's like
every game you play is a PowerPoint presentation.
The thing that I think they need to, like, the thing that I've loved about switching to PC gaming is the higher frame rate and how smooth everything is. Like,
you get to control your performance though. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, if you want to play with better graphics but lower FPS, you can do that. Console, it's like you're kind of dedicated to one graphic type. And like, if you're playing a BR, for example, like Blackout, I played that at 4K at my buddy's house, and I could tell it, when you're dropping in, you're only playing at like 20 FPS.
Yeah. This next gen consoles is going to be like buying a mid to high end PC that you can't upgrade
from 2 years
and
ago.
Have to wait for however many years. That cycle's only going to get smaller, isn't it? Between next gen consoles that release, like, technology is advancing so quickly.
I mean, it's been about 6 years since the last console.
Well,
I want
it been that long.
I think it was six.
Look what,
I think so.
Look what Google's doing. Have you heard about the Google Stadia thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Google Stadia. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's a game streaming service. So all they'd need to do is upgrade things on their end, and you've got a better performing system. Like, they give you a controller, but it's all streaming based.
Yeah, that is essentially like
through the
internet. Google has their great computer setup or whatever it is back at their office, and you essentially just connect from even like a Chromebook or your phone to this beastly PC. You like remote in, and then you're playing your game on that device. Your controller or whatever you play with goes from your Wi-Fi, not to your computer, but to the computer at Google's whatever. So it's like the least amount of latency. And we'll see how good the latency and whatever is.
I think
on it's a good concept.
It's not,
have you ever
it's
tried?
New, like, it's through the Chromecast. I think that's what it is. It's a streaming service on the Chromecast, which is already like an established product, like that's in so many houses already.
Yeah.
It would just be like a new app that you can, you know, and then you can multitask with different things that are on that Chromecast. So you could, similar to what the Xbox did with all the different apps, you could like pop Netflix up on one side. I don't think anyone really did that. No one's watching on like a really small screen, but you can multitask in that regard, bring up like a Twitter feed on Google Chrome or that sort of thing.
I think for a casual audience, it's not a bad idea, but have you ever tried the Steam Share or whatever? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But playing from a different PC, because you can do that over your own network, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can have a game.
Up, like the delay.
I've tried that with a delay, right? It's about, I don't know, it depends on your ping, right? If you're going to be connecting to Google, you have really good internet, probably have like a 20 millisecond delay. That's not going to be too bad, especially when you're playing on console and you can't like flick shot specifically to somebody's head or whatever. But I think for casual games and single players, it would be no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to multiplayer, I would prefer not to.
NVIDIA has something similar that they had for Max that I tried when it was in his beta. I hadn't tried it again since, so it might have gotten better. But it was like you're remoting into one of these beastly computers, and it was decent. It was good. But like you said, like it would be good if you were playing a single player, or like I want to say I tried what you were talking about with Destiny or something like that, where I was trying to grind on a game from my living room rather than being in my office. And so I tried to send it over there, and it's a great concept, but it's not going to work. I don't think it'll work for every game. I think it'll work probably for casuals in that sense, but that's what's like,
yeah, it depends how easily you notice the delay. Like, you need to have played on a system where there is no delay for you to really feel it.
Yeah. I mean, you could get used to it, I guess, without ever realizing that there is such a thing as no delay.
If that's the first thing you
see
as
a
casual player.
It just has to be easy enough to where it's like you don't even have to think about it. And that's where I think like something like Stadia would make it that easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to go digital. Microsoft,
so when it comes down to it,
came out with a, go on.
Would you prefer to play on PC, or would like spend the extra money to play on PC? Or would you rather go out and buy, I think, Chromecast? What does that even cost you?
It's like £30 in the UK, so like $40 probably.
So that's not too bad. Plus the, $400 to $600 you're going to be paying for.
And I presume you'd be paying for, if it's a streaming service, then you'd be paying for that service.
Yeah, and I mean, you could just...
And then paying for the games on that service.
So in the long run... Would you rather pay upfront like $700 to $800 for a half decent PC that you can just play for free on 24/7 and get better performance overall than do a streaming service such as that?
I think a lot of people would do that. It's just the case of with PCs, like you're either building them yourself to save money or buying a pre-built and losing money in some way.
I think, yeah, and I mean, like, I think about, like, okay, what if I wasn't creating content? What would I probably be doing? I probably would have, like, a nice PC and be figuring all this stuff out because I just enjoy it enough. But, like, I know a bunch of people that I used to work with who were, like, they didn't even want to get the Xbox, like, last year because they are like, well, in the next year or two, there's going to be another platform, another console coming out. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's even just getting an Xbox, figuring out what games you want and stuff. Like, some people are just not as into it. So I feel like for the
casual, you are.
Just want to play some games. Let's just see what's
so you
out.
Think there's
just
an
want
audience
to play through
for
story.
It.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a different 100%. Audience than, like, you know, I feel like it's just going to be a different audience that is going to then probably even get into gaming and be like, oh, hey, I have a Chromebook. I have a controller. I could just plug this into my thing and play the latest Xbox game, or, you know, the latest whatever game that I see all these people that spend hundreds of dollars on a platform to get, or like, especially like mobile players. There's so many people that play games on mobile that don't have a platform. Like, it's crazy. So if this is something that works on mobile, and now there's like an easy way to just plug your whatever, like an attach a controller type thing to your phone, which we've seen for years, but now
that's a good point, actually.
Now
yeah.
maybe it's actually legit, where it's like, oh damn, I'm playing the latest Destiny game or whatever it is on my phone, like in full quality.
It does work on multiple devices.
I'll do that.
That Google Stadia thing, I think it does work on smartphone, tablet, laptop, or TV.
Yeah, because it's just like it's just connecting in. So to me, it's
4K
like,
up to 60 FPS.
That's where it's like, I think that has really some of the most potential. And like you were saying too, Tom, Xbox, they just announced too, they came out with it's not necessarily their next gen of console,
no,
but they've
released a diskless console.
Yeah, they released a new thing that's just the Xbox One S all digital, aka the Xbox SAD. And that's the abbreviation. I didn't make it up. Whoever designed it came up with it.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. So that's a device that has no disc tray in it, mm-hmm. or whatever, and it's just only digital, which is how I've been doing games for years since I got the Xbox One. Like the first game or two, I had a disc for. Then after that, I said, "F it, I'm just gonna get the digital version of it, download it, and then play it whenever I want to play it." Because I didn't really.
They're not stupid. It's just the way things are now. Like, people are streaming movies, DVDs have gone out, people are streaming music, CDs have gone out, now discs are going out now. because it's all accessible.
It is hard because it is gigantic files though, and that's where it's like,
yeah, I miss the days where I was able to just put a disc in my console and play it straight away without having to download anything.
Even
and the next gen came out and it was like you took a back step because you had that disc. You put it in, but then you've got to do that 40-50 gigabyte download.
You still have to download
it
anyway.
What am I downloading? What is on this freaking disc, dude?
Yeah, and that's actually, I think that's a bigger issue to like the actual hard drive on the thing, where it's like the hard drives are super slow. And that's one of the things too, like the PlayStation 5 is going to have a solid state drive in it, which is also like, I wonder how much this is actually going to cost. Like, if this thing ends up with a solid state drive, it's going to have RTX capabilities as well.
And that's changeable,
core CPU.
Right? You can remove the SSD.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, you'll be able to. Add more storage.
Yeah.
But either way, like, I mean, SSDs are getting cheap. SSDs are getting cheaper, but if you want to get like a 2 terabyte SSD, especially if there's, well, actually PlayStation will have a way to put discs in too.
I don't think it's going to be any more than what the consoles are right now, just because of like how fast technology is going along. Like, we got 4 terabyte SSDs now. Like, we got 4 terabyte M.2s, right? Those things are extremely expensive. But
yeah, it's
we're past the point of just hard drives now. Like, SSDs are becoming more and more useful and more achievable, like through, you know, lower financials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll probably be very, very similar to the current price, because they've always stayed around that specific price range, right? It's like $399 to $499 or something.
Yeah, typically. I remember the Xbox was $100 more because it came with a Kinect and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest, like, when that first came out, like, all the drama focused around that, is that it cost that much more, but people didn't want that extra thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they
went
it's integral to the Xbox One. If you don't have it, then it's not the complete experience. But they ended up removing it eventually.
That's what's so crazy too. With like, they changed it from that was when placed it, because before that, it felt like, at least for me, was like Xbox was like the go to for gaming and for, I mean, like there's some good games on PlayStation 2 for exclusive, but like online gaming and stuff like that.
Yeah, multiplayer, like, Xbox had it down.
That was like, I was going to Xbox for it, and then
yeah.
After that shift of like the next gen, like PlayStation just took everything over. They've been, they got like the, especially for multiplayer at least, which I guess is what I'm, but also single player too, because
single
a lot of their single
huge.
Player exclusives are bonkers good.
Last of Us.
Yeah.
Last of Us was huge. And then when Last of Us came to PS4, like remastered, people got behind that. Then you've got Uncharted, which is also a massive franchise.
All right. Final question here.
What kind of game you are.
Was from Tyler B. He asked, he was asking about Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2. He actually posted a video thing of somebody who went back and was playing it and how much has changed with it. Have you guys, did you play the original one, or I guess Battlefront 2 when it initially came out at all?
I played the original Battlefront. I know Connor played. I didn't touch Battlefront 2 at all.
Yeah.
Mainly because of, I don't know, there's a lot of people just saying it was going to be bad.
It didn't have a great
left
launch.
A bit of taste in my mouth. It was mainly the microtransaction thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was the biggest issue with it. But I really enjoyed it. Like, it was a lot of fun just messing around in a casual third-person shooter.
That's the thing, right? It's just such a casual, like, that was the whole reason why I loved the first one so much, too. It's like, you're in the Star Wars universe. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's what it was all about.
It was so much fun just, like, running around.
And it was, like, the best graphics that have ever been out on a video game.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
When that first Battlefront came out, it's insane.
I think it was 2 years ago now. The game's been out for at least a year and a half, 2 years or so. And they've kept updating, kept improving it. Anyways, he's saying to check it out or if we're interested in it. And I was looking at it and I was like, this does, because they added more heroes to it. They added more modes. They added more maps. And I played it a lot when it first came out. I was really into it. It was just super unfortunate how much, you know, how terrible they did at launching the game and how much everybody was super pissed at everything, understandably. And it's just like, damn, dude, I really enjoyed it. So it was like kind of sucked. But
EA have been on a roller coaster of a ride the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's not been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, five was the same. They were like, if you don't like women in World War II, then don't buy our game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just like, well, I'm not buying your game. But
okay.
Like, I didn't care. I really enjoyed BF5 for what it was when it first came out, but it quickly became pretty stale.
Yeah.
Didn't have the things that I enjoyed so much about the previous Battlefield games.
But
and then Apex comes out and just up goes the stock again. Respawn of saved EA.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a little long, so I wanted to end it here.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys joining in. Acolyte, thanks for coming back.
Pleasure as always.
Tom, thanks for joining as well.
It's been fun, man.
Hell yeah. If you guys want to check him out, Acolyte is the Acolyte on Twitter, right?
Correct. And just Acolyte on YouTube.
Perfect. Tom?
It's Tomographic on Twitter and Tomographic on YouTube.
Absolutely. Beautiful, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining in. We'll still be gaming and whatnot, all that good stuff on our streams and having a good time. So we'll see you later. If you guys enjoyed listening, don't forget to give it a rating on wherever you're listening on. And come back for some more. All right? Thanks for listening. Stone Man 64, over and out.